Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Well, good morning to you. I'm not Teresa Tomeo. I'm Sherry Brownrigg. So happy to be sitting in the chair for Teresa today and tomorrow. And she's taking a well-deserved break down in Florida. Florida, where the sun shines, one of the few states that is not being affected by all this terrible weather. The old Canadian clipper, as they call it. But she'll be back on Monday, so we're looking forward to that. But I really am looking forward to today's show. This hour, we'll be talking with Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. Do that every Thursday. Also talking with Patty Armstrong. She has written a great new blog about the best way to pray, and that's something I think that all of us can really, really dig into. We love to have that conversation. There's so much to pray for right now, isn't there? I mean, talk about the weather. It's really rough in many parts of the country. Down in Texas, they are suffering terribly. Days without heat, without electricity, and temperatures that they really are not prepared to withstand. You know, for those of us who live in the Midwest, particularly in the upper Midwest, we kind of tend to think, oh, you know, that's something we deal with all the time. But they are not prepared for it. We have houses that are built that way, windows that are sealed well, many, many snow plows, you know, grids that can withstand this kind of weather. But down in Texas, that is really, really suffering. Also, just so much to pray for in terms of our nation, you know, where we're going, what's happening right now. There is so much out there. Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of weather, in the Detroit area, there's about a 50% chance of snow this morning with a high of 26. And if the snow comes, it looks like it's there on the radar. Maybe we'll get about an inch. And in the Grand Rapids area, cloudy and 25 today. And you may see a few flurries here and there. And the Upper Peninsula, about the same, cloudy and 25 for the high. Lent is here, the second full day of Lent. How's it going so far, huh? You know, I look at the coming of Lent with sometimes trepidation, you know, always a lot of love, because it's an opportunity to get closer to the Lord, and what an opportunity. But that trepidation is always there, because it seems every year I never make Lent exactly what I want it to be. I get to the end of Lent and I kind of have that, oh boy, you know, I could have done so much more and I just didn't. And so, you know, this year, this is the year that I'm really thinking I've got a good plan. And, you know, the secret is to, when you look back at what you've done and it hasn't worked, well, you know, there's that old funny saying that says the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Well, that's kind of true. And what I've done this year is I said, what can I do that's different? What are the things that have held me back from having the Lent that I want to have in the previous years? You know, some of it has been structure. I'm the kind of person that I need to have that structure. And that's one of the things I so love about the church, is that she has that structure for us, ready-made. Fasting, almsgiving, prayer, sacrifice, those things in Lent, and so we can fit ourselves into that. And that structure for me really keeps me on track. I'm the type of person that, you know, something like Snyder's mustard pretzels, I could sit down with a bag and before I know it, oh my gosh, half this bag is gone. Is that you too? I just have to be able to say, okay, this is what I'm going to eat, and then this is how I'm going to do it. And that's how I can stay on track. You can't eat just one or two mustard pretzels from Snyder's, though, I'm just saying. But, you know, Lent is here, and there's the temptation for many people. I've been looking at this on Facebook and social media to go light on Lent, because we've kind of been through a Lent. You know, it feels like it for so many, and many people have truly been suffering under this pandemic. You know, churches have been closed a lot. In some places, like in California, New York, they're just opening up now after nearly a year of being closed. And that can be very, very difficult. But I really feel like this is the year for us that we really need to look at Lent and see it as an opportunity for us to grow closer to the Lord. You know, not see it as a set of rules that we have to abide by, but as an opportunity for us to fall in love all over again. And as so many saints have said, you know, once we decide who or what and who we're falling in love with, that really kind of charts our course, doesn't it? It puts everything else into perspective, and it really guides where we are going. So I really encourage you, you know, no matter what's happened with you this year, this past year, to really seek out the Lord and ask Him, you know, what do you want my Lent to be? How can I make this Lent not something where I'm focused on the sacrifices, the hardships? Oh, you know, I'm fasting today. Ugh, I'm not a good faster. I don't know about you. I'm just not good at it. The blood sugar just won't agree. So I have to fast from other things. You know, I certainly don't. I watch what I eat on those days, but I can't fast on bread and water. It's just very, very difficult for me physically. But, you know, ask Him, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? How can I grow closer to you? Because we all know that no matter what it is we're going through, growing closer to the Lord is always going to be the remedy. That's always going to be the thing that will change our life and that will help us to cope with whatever comes our way. Whether it's death, destruction, disappointment about election, relationships falling apart, you know, all the different things that are happening throughout our world right now. Worry, financial worries due to the pandemic, worried about other people getting sick. The Lord being close to Him, that's where we need to be. So it's an opportunity for us to really say, Lord, where do you want me to be? And then follow His will. Are you in? Okay, me too. All right. And now, on this Thursday, the 18th of February, it is time for news. Pope Francis says the Lenten period leading to Easter celebrations is a journey and an exodus from slavery to freedom. During his Ash Wednesday message yesterday, the Pope said Lent is a journey of return to God. He said, in this life there will always be things to do and excuses to offer, but right now is the time to return to God. The Pope compared the Lenten period of 40 days to the time spent by the Jews in the Old Testament, wandering through the desert in search of the Promised Land after being freed of slavery in Egypt by God. Well, there's still no warmth for the freezing today in the Lone Star State. NBC's Morgan Chesky is there.
4 days of sub-freezing temperatures and no clear picture on when the lights will be turned back on here in Texas. Right now, millions still without power, fighting to stay warm, and it's already resulted in deadly consequences.
Harris County, home to Houston, has seen more than 300 cases of carbon monoxide poisoning this week, as folks resort to bringing things like barbecue pits indoor to try and stay warm. In addition to that, dozens of people have had to be treated for hypothermia across North Texas as temperatures dove below freezing. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is now being accused of threatening a critic from his own political party as the FBI launches an investigation into Cuomo's handling of coronavirus nursing home deaths. Scott Pringle reports.
Democratic Assemblyman Ron Kim of Queens says Cuomo called him last week threatening to destroy him if he did not support the governor.
Spent 10 minutes berating me, yelling at me, threatening me and my career.
Well, Governor Cuomo's spokesperson says Kim is lying about the call, and here's the governor's reaction.
And I said to him on the phone, you know, there is still integrity and honor and decency in politics.
Cuomo admitted it was a mistake not providing nursing home data sooner, but nothing was done illegally, he says, and the administration says it'll cooperate with federal investigators.
The coronavirus pandemic is creating additional health issues for people with kidney disease. Dr. Griffin P. Rogers with the National Institute of Health says more than 37 million adults in the United States are affected by chronic kidney disease, and COVID is pushing these numbers up.
If you have chronic kidney disease, you're at increased risk of getting infected with the COVID virus. And conversely, if you develop COVID, there's a good chance that it may cause damage to your kidney.
He says part of the problem is that people aren't going to their doctor like they should. Telemedicine, he says, is a great way to stay connected with the doc and keep on top of health issues. Gas prices are expected to climb across the country after a huge winter storm knocked out refineries in Texas. AAA says a gallon of unleaded went up to about $2.54 on average Wednesday. That's up 2 cents from the previous day. The price is expected to go up another 10 to 20 cents in the coming days after about a dozen refineries were shut down by this week's storm. The massive winter storm caused power outages across Texas and a shortage of natural gas. Analysts predict gas prices will average about $2.70 per gallon within days. NASA's Perseverance rover is set to land on Mars later today. It will go through 7 minutes of terror as it plunges through the red planet's atmosphere at a speed of over 12,000 miles per hour. That's before landing in the Jezero crater.
It's the most difficult landing site on Mars ever attempted, but the Perseverance rover and the team are ready.
That's Marina Jurica with NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratories Media Office. If all goes as planned, we should get word of a successful landing around 3:55 p.m. Eastern Time. Once it arrives, Perseverance will study the Martian environment and collect rock and soil samples, which it will deliver back to Earth in about a decade. Longtime talk radio host Rush Limbaugh has passed away. His wife, Catherine, made the announcement yesterday.
It is with profound sadness I must share with you directly that our beloved Rush, my wonderful husband, passed away this morning due to complications from lung cancer.
The 70-year-old passed away after a year-long battle with advanced lung cancer, a diagnosis he revealed was terminal just months ago. Limbaugh is widely considered one of the most influential media members of the past 50 years, using his far-reaching microphone to push conservative candidates and initiatives. Since achieving radio syndication stardom in the late 80s, he has grown into the most listened-to radio show in the U.S. Limbaugh opened up about his cancer battle last year, admitting he wasn't expecting to make it to December. In February of 2020, President Trump awarded Limbaugh the Presidential Medal of Freedom during his final State of the Union address. And someone else to pray for there indeed. Coming up in the second hour of Catholic Connection today, we'll find out what makes Ave Maria Law School so special. Yeah, Elizabeth Westhoff, their communication director, will be with us. And we'll find out about a new Catholic coaching platform started by the hosts of EWTN's Take Two. Looking forward to both of those interviews. But coming up next for you, Father Frank Pavone. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Catholic Connection.
Emmaus Health is pleased to announce that through our partnership with Arbor Women, Claire Hall is joining us, a nurse midwife. Claire brings her outstanding expertise to help us expand our pro-life women's health and our pregnancy verification services. In these challenging times, we want the community to know that we are still available to help you and your family. Call 734-930-4020 and ask about our telemedicine option. Visit our website at emmaushealth.org. Faith-inspired, dignity-affirming healthcare. Emmaus Health.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, images matter. They matter so much that historically, images were the first thing that opponents of the church went after, and images matter on the first Sunday of Lent.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO Ave Maria Radio.
A message on behalf of your six Archdiocese of Detroit cemeteries. If we have learned anything the last 11 months, it is how we were ill-prepared for the onset of COVID-19. As an organization, the outreach team for your AOD cemeteries have not been able to visit your parish to help with any questions you may have. But now, with the help of technology, we can do something about that. During the month of February, you can receive information simply by starting a conversation with a text message. Type in the word HOLY to 474747. Within a minute or two, you will receive a message stating how one of our friendly family service advisors will contact you during the work week to see how we may help. Yes, it's just that easy. Whether you're looking for answers, wishing to make an appointment, or anything else, it can all begin with a text message you send to us. So if you're looking for guidance or any information about our locations, please consider texting HOLY to 474747. Thank you, and God bless.
Welcome back to Catholic Connection. Sherry Brownrigg in for Teresa Tomeo, taking a few well-deserved days off, and she's in Florida, and that's where our next guest is from. Everybody should go to Florida right now, Father Frank Pavone.
Yes, that's right, and we welcome you with open arms and warm weather.
Okay, well, thank you for that. I have to admit, I'm just a little bit envious. I'm going to have to work on that, but a little bit envious right now. So, as I look out my window at all the snow and the cold and the gloom. Anyway, well, how are things going, Father?
You know what? As a consolation, you know what? Since I moved down here when Priest for Life got our new headquarters back in 2017, you know what I found myself doing? You know, on my Instagram, I look at some of these beautiful Instagram sites that have these beautiful winter scenes all year long. And, you know, there's something about it that you start to miss the beauty of winter scenery, even though, as we all know, the inconvenience of it. But there is a certain, you know, after a while, you miss certain aspects of it.
Well, I have to admit that I'm with you on that same page because, you know, I like winter. I like being walking my dog out in winter, you know, and seeing the beautiful snowfall and it's not so fun driving in it. And if you're not prepared for it, like the folks in Texas and some of the southern states, it can be quite dangerous. But, you know, up here in the Midwest, in the upper part of the U.S., we're used to it. It's okay.
Exactly.
But anyway, I'm glad you're there, and I'm glad you're enjoying the sunshine. And you've got a lot going on. I mean, Lent has started. I know there's so much of a connection between the pro-life cause, you know, and what we know about pro-life and Lent. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, there's a lot of deep connections. You know, Lent is about embracing life. You know, today, of course, the reading is the famous Choose Life passage from Deuteronomy 30. Mm-hmm. But that's really all of Lent, because we prepare, as the liturgy tells us, to celebrate the Paschal mystery with mind and heart renewed. Well, what is the Paschal mystery? It's the destruction of death and the restoration of life. Now, John Paul II, in the Gospel of Life, has a beautiful passage in there about Good Friday, and he says that's when the people of life is born. Jesus gives his life on the cross that we may have life, and he says there we see in the crucifixion the fact that the mystery, the purpose of life itself, is found precisely when it is given away. Now, when you think about pro-life, you know, pro-choice means, you know, this is my body, I'm going to do what I want. It's an assertion of self. Pro-life means this is my body given up to you. I'm giving myself away so that the other lives. And this is the whole dynamic of take up your cross, deny yourself, and then you will find life. We repent at the beginning of Lent. We wear the ashes. We give things up. We fast. We make some sacrifices. And ultimately, that's training us to sacrifice and resist and expel from our lives the evil things. Well, that includes ideas, false ideas, like pro-choice. That includes rejecting, not only as individuals, but as a nation, rejecting abortion, rejecting the policies that permit it. So it's deep repentance. And deep repentance is really expressed when we, you know, we're heading now for Easter. And what do we do at Easter? I always love this, Sherry, at Easter Mass. We renew the vows of our baptism.
Oh, yes.
And it's most of us were infants when we were baptized, but this gives us the chance to hear and respond to those powerful questions. Do you reject Satan and all his works and all his empty promises? Well, abortion and the culture of death are part of his works and his empty promises. If we are baptized, if we are preparing to renew our baptism by this Lenten observance, we must more than ever reject abortion in all its forms and deeply choose life. So those are my brief reflections on the connections between Lent and pro-life.
Yeah, it was so beautiful, Father Frank. And, you know, you think about that. I mean, you gave me such a beautiful picture when I was remembering, oh, yes, we get to do that again at the end of Lent and when, you know, Christ is risen and Easter is here. And sometimes there's that temptation, I do!
That yes, fist in the shout air. It out.
Yes, shout it out. You know, and so really this year, let's not be tepid. Let's really think about what the priest is saying as he leads us in that and, you know, say, yes. Yes, I do reject that. And you know, the current culture that we are experiencing, so much paints abortion. I mean, this everybody knows this. We all know this, that it paints abortion as it's the kind thing to do for the woman because, you know, she's struggling and it's her choice and her future may be in jeopardy and all those things. And, you know, it's really hard for us, Father Frank, sometimes when we think about, well, gosh, I do want to be nice. I want to be helpful. And when we constantly have that bombardment of the culture on us, we have to really stay close to the church and stay close to resources like Priests for Life to ensure that we don't crowd out that reasoning that you just talked about.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, you bring up another important dimension is what does this do to the woman? Of course we want to help her. Of course we want to be not only kind, we want to be absolutely at her service. Any woman in need, any mother in need, anybody in need. So what the big blind spot here on the part of those who promote tolerate abortion is that abortion itself is harming her. And, you know, we have more. I mean, people just have to go to, you know, you mentioned about our work at Priests for Life. You know, part of our work is the Silent No More campaign.
Yeah.
People go to abortiontestimonies.com. I mean, listen and watch and read the stories of those who have abortions. You'll never want to let a woman choose that again because there's so much pain, so much devastation, so many physical and emotional after effects that it's absolutely horrendous. AbortionTestimonies.com. And that's, you know, again, those who promote it, and it's a big blind spot. They oh, we're helping the woman. You're not helping her. You're hurting her.
Yeah, that's so true. And, you know, it takes years for so many of these women to really right the ship, so to speak. And, you know, again, the pro-choice side is going to tell you that it solves a problem. It may, you know, solve that problem when you look at just the facts. Yes, the baby is no longer there for you to have to raise and take care of and deal with that situation, but you are trading it in for problems that are much, much deeper. You know, it's...
Yeah, exactly.
Because we know deep down that it's taking a life. Despite the fact that we try to tell ourselves that's not the case. But anyway, well, let's look a little bit at... do you have any concrete ways that we can continually bring that pro-life message and the pro-life attitude, the mindset, the choice to be pro-life into our Lenten observance?
Yes. Well, there are many different things that we can do. But, you know, one of the practical things, and a lot of people ask me during these days, what can we do when we have a pro-abortion government, you know, both in Congress and in the White House? And actually, there are many things we can do. You know, there have been several pieces of legislation introduced by our pro-life members of Congress just in these recent weeks. And we need to learn about them and get behind them. Now, I'll mention one of them in particular, but let me also invite listeners to sign up for our action alerts, because when these legislations are introduced or it comes time to vote on them, and, you know, our voices need to be heard, we give people the messages, we give people the people to call, and that's at stopabortionnow.org. They can sign up for these action alerts, stopabortionnow.org. But one of the bills our friend Chris Smith introduced just the other day is the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. So Congress now literally, you know, has this bill in front of them to cut in half the amount of time during pregnancy that abortions are permitted in America, because right now we're one of only four countries that allows it throughout pregnancy, even though certain states have, you know, earlier limits. But the fact is, by federal law, there's no limit. And so this bill would say, look, by 20 weeks, these babies feel pain. The scientific evidence is pretty strong. So let's protect them starting at 20 weeks. Now, that's just a modest step forward. We all know, including Chris Smith that introduced this bill, we all know that our ultimate goal has to be protecting all these babies But the fact is that right now, you've got a lot of lawmakers that are ready to take that step of at least reducing it down to 20 weeks. At the same time, our Democrat representatives, unfortunately, keep opposing this bill. But that's where we need our voices to be heard. It's a fight. It's a battle. But we do have our pro-life folks in Congress introducing this and various other bills that are very, you know what's so helpful about this? Not only is it a good bill to push, but when we talk about it, a lot of people say, oh, well, how can anybody be against that, you know? And yet, it's what it does. It exposes in the minds of the voters the extremism of those who are pro-abortion and who are going to go to those same voters in 2 years and ask for their vote again.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting. There's a real double standard here because we've been hearing believe in science, you know, for a very long time now. And I mean, when you look at the science of this and the, you know, it's quite obvious that yes, these children are experiencing pain and they're just denying it. And, you know, it's like, no, this science is inconvenient for me, so I'm not going to believe that, you know.
Well, one of the most drastic examples of this rejection of science, one of the leading Democrats, as you know, of course, is Pete Buttigieg. And, you know, when you ask him about abortion, you know what he says? He invokes that old mythological argument. The Bible says that God breathed life into Adam, and he became a living being. And so, you know, I believe that the baby is a baby when the baby takes his first breath out of the womb. That is so ridiculous. First of all, biblically, it's ridiculous because the Bible talks about breathing the life of the into the baby in the womb. But that aside, just take the science. Okay, like these folks like to tell us, lecture us when it comes to climate change, although the science is not 100% in their corner. But the fact is, look at the science. The baby does breathe in the womb. Mm-hmm. The oxygen goes in through the placenta from the mother's bloodstream, and the carbon dioxide comes out of the baby back into the mother's bloodstream, also through the placenta. This is basic science. Of course the baby is breathing. You know, and so the fact of the matter is that these people are rejecting whatever they think science is. Like you say, it's not convenient for them to apply it to that baby in the womb.
Oh, yeah. Father Frank, I heard you speak once a long time ago. It was, you and I both were probably much younger and had more hair, but I remember you saying that even if you took away, we were talking to a group of Catholics, even if you took away your Catholic faith and didn't believe in the pro-life cause through your faith, it would still be sound reasoning because of the science that's behind it. I'm paraphrasing you, but
that's
this
right.
is essentially what you said, and I've
that's
never
right.
forgotten that you don't have to argue it through faith because, you know, it's all scientific. That's a baby in the womb.
It is scientific, and it's scientific also to talk about what we were saying a few moments ago, the impact, the negative impact it has on women. I mean, we've got scientific studies coming out our ears. I mean, it's been piling up for decades. There's a book called Complications. You know, and I'm privileged to work day by day with the people that are putting this research together and the doctors and the scientists and the psychiatrists. I mean, we interact with them all. And so they've put together this book called Complications. And it's a very thick book, and it reviews all the various physical, emotional, psychological, and social negative impacts of abortion. I mean, including, we talk about social, increase in poverty among women, breakdown of marriages and family life. Nothing's more destructive of family than abortion. But the point is, it's all science. It's these scientific studies. And people need to pay more attention to the studies than to the political organizations. What I mean is, for example, there's these different societies, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, the American Psychiatric Association. You know, doctors will come together and they'll form these various associations, but that's more political than scientific because they'll issue statements that are projecting more of their ideology. And people say, oh, but this group of scientists, you know, they're pro-choice. That doesn't amount to a hill of beans. What you have to look at are the studies. Not what do the doctors say when they're coming together for their politically motivated associations, but what does the science itself say? So again, reinforcing your point about, hey, let's challenge these folks, you know, who are pro-abortion about the same way about the science. It's very fruitful both ways.
Yeah. Well, in the time that we have left, and by the way, friends, we're talking with Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. I read that yesterday, the South Carolina House passed a bill banning nearly all abortions.
Yes.
Can you talk a little about that?
Well, yes, and this is popping up now. First of all, we have had a difficult time since January when, of course, so many of the state legislatures are convening, and these next few months, you know, the state legislatures are going to be doing a lot of work like this. We've been having trouble even keeping up with it. South Carolina is one in a long list of states that have already taken a lot of action, a lot of votes. Far more states are passing laws that will basically say, okay, it's time to protect all these babies. Some of them will start from, you know, early heartbeat detection. Some of them will start at 12 weeks, 15 weeks. Some of them will say, no, right from the beginning. And South Carolina is one of the one of those, as you say, that they're passing a bill that would prohibit all abortion. Here's what's happening. The bigger picture here is that South Carolina and many of these other states, they have a new confidence. You know, in this last election, the pro-life Republicans on the state level had no losses when it comes to their majority in the state legislatures. They have a majority of the state legislative bodies under their control. So because of that, and they have more sectors also where they've got the governor's office and both chambers of the state legislature. Because of this, we're going to see more, if you will, daring and bold kinds of legislation that will protect just about all these babies. And the other reason for confidence is not just that they didn't lose any power in the states as a result of this election, but now they have almost 300 new pro-life federal judges in the courts across the nation because of President Trump. And therefore, that gives them more confidence that the bills they introduce, which they know the pro-abortion people are going to bring to challenge in court, they have more confidence that those pro-life bills will be upheld in court. And that confidence is well-founded. So that's why we're going to see a lot more of this, and that's why I want to encourage our folks again to sign up at stopabortionnow.org, and we'll give you these updates and let you know which state legislators you should be talking to as well.
Yeah, oh, that's so wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the front lines and helping us to stay up to date with all these different things happening. Because I think overall, you know, if we're just tuned into secular media, we're going to be feeling pretty bad about the pro-life case right now, because they're telling us that, oh, you know, you can't win. There's these things that aren't happening. Often they just don't talk about it, so it feels like, you know, the culture is just winning. But when we go down to this granular level, look at the states, look at what's happening, find out by going to priestsforlife.org and stopabortionnow.org, those kinds of places, you know, where you're really getting this information out. Friends, you got to go there. You really have to go there and understand that, no, we have not lost the battle. In fact, we're winning.
Right.
So, you know,
right.
This is it. Any final words for our listeners, Father Frank?
I hope everyone has a wonderful Lent. You know, let's really, really observe more than we ever have before. And let's have that optimism and that confidence. You know, I miss President Trump. I have some connection with him, and he's going to be back in the public limelight increasingly as we go on here. But I mention him as we conclude here because he has a deep sense of Christian optimism. And I think that's how we have to live these days. Now, we're still in the pandemic. We're still fighting all sorts of things, bad weather and all sorts of things. But you know what? He says our greatest days are ahead of us. And if Lent and Easter teach us anything, it teaches us that lesson. Our greatest days are ahead of us in Jesus Christ.
Oh, beautiful words. Father Frank Pavone, thank you so much for what you do. And please know that we're all praying for you. Godspeed.
Thank you, Sherry. God bless you.
All right, you too. That's Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. You can find everything that he's been talking about at priestsforlife.org. Stopabortionnow.org also is the direct line to get you signed up for those alerts so you can really hone in on what's happening in the pro-life world and the pro-life cause this Lent, so it's a good time to do that. All right, so it's about 26 before the top of the hour, 34 past here. We've got a quick break here, and then we'll come back with Patty Armstrong, wonderful blogger. She has written a new blog about the best way to pray. You're not going to want to miss that. That's up next here on Catholic Connection. Welcome back to Catholic Connection. Sherry Brownrigg in for Teresa Tomeo's got a few days off here, and lucky her. Although Andrew and I were talking, Andrew the producer, during the break, that she said it's raining a little bit there. So for those of us who are in the Midwest while she's in Florida, okay, there's your rain. We've got this cold and snow. Oh, well, it's all right. We're okay with that. You know, it's all in God's plan. Coming up next hour, speaking of Florida, we're going to be talking to Elizabeth Westhoff, the communication director from Ave Maria Law School down there in Naples, Florida. Also, we will find out about a new Catholic coaching platform started by the hosts of EWTN's Take Two. It's really just a great thing that's happening there that they have done for folks in the Catholic world here. Right now, though, we've got Patty Armstrong on the line. She's an award-winning author. She was the managing editor and co-author of Ascension Press's best-selling Amazing Grace series. And her newest books are Holy Hacks, Everyday Ways to Live Your Faith and Get to Heaven, and Big Hearted, Inspiring Stories from Everyday Families. She's also here in the Upper Midwest, lives in one of my favorite states in the entire country, North Dakota, and now works as a freelance writer, and she often blogs for the National Catholic Register. And she's written a fantastic blog, I just love, on what is the best way to pray. Good morning, Patty, and welcome to Catholic Connection.
Well, good morning, Sherry. Thank you for that beautiful introduction. And I'm not feeling too sorry for Teresa with the rain. Last week, and I, you know, the whole country is just, oh my gosh, the weather. But we were at 32 below this past weekend, but we're up to 5 right now. And if you can believe it, it might be 40 degrees this weekend. So
wow.
Crazy times in North Dakota.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. And when you're talking about 32 below, you are talking about, you know, the actual temperature, not the wind chill.
No, yeah. Thank goodness we didn't have wind that day. That was a blessing.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're not so far away from March. I mean, here it is already the 18th of February. So counting the days, and I don't know, you know, it'll be spring on the calendar soon. We'll hope that the weather follows suit. But let's talk about prayer. You know, here we are, the second day of Lent. Prayer is on the minds of all of us. I think we all think about it quite a bit. And there is that question that lingers out there a lot. What's the best way to pray? So there's that question, Patty. What's the best way to pray?
So I ask that question because, there's so many different kinds, right?
Yeah,
Some people speak in tongues. Some people talk about contemplative prayer. There's memorized prayer and free prayer and reading scripture, Lectio Divina. And so I asked the prayer expert. I consider him a prayer expert, Father Jacques Salik.
Oh.
He has written... So, yeah, see, look at your expression. You know who he is. And if you know him, you love him, because his books on prayer are so profound, so deep. And so I asked him, what's the best way to pray? And he acknowledged that there are very many different ways to pray. And, of course, as I expected, I couldn't pin him down to what's the best way, but there are best ways to pray at different times, which I think is important because it's not just one kind of prayer that we should be pursuing. We really should be open to everything. So there is the Rosary and Divine Mercy Chaplet. And one thing that he said that I thought was big was that all our prayers should be grounded in Scripture, that we really should begin with that.
Mm. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, reading Scripture and meditating on Scripture is kind of important because it really stems. Our prayer life is going to grow and be nourished by that. And so Lectio Divina should be a part of everybody's prayer life in some way, where we read, and that is basically reading and meditating. And it doesn't mean, you know, reading an entire gospel. You can, of course. I'm not telling anybody to limit yourself. But for people that are hard-pressed for time, which is most of us, just find a small section, maybe a few sentences, and read and reflect, kind of experience it and think about, now, how does this affect me? What does this mean to me? And that is basically what Lectio Divina is.
Yeah.
And then we take that with us through our day.
Yeah, you know, I love Lectio Divina, and it's one of those things where you can take a passage or two, and I like to use the gospel reading for the daily mass. And, you know, the process is you read it slowly, sometimes you read it out loud, and I always ask God, you know, what is in here that you really want me to hear, that you really want me to see? And he will show you if you ask him that. And like you said, you know, you get deep down into the Bible, and it stays with you all day long. You know, you think about that, and you find the way that God has woven your day together, you know, using these scriptures. And it's just such a wonderful practice. And I don't really know that many people that actually do a daily Lectio Divina, and I'm understanding what I hear you talk about is not only does Father Jacques Philippe recommend it, but you do too, Patty.
Well, I'm recommending it because Father Jacques did, and I was in this. I haven't gone lately. You know, the schedule gets busy, but I always consider that I will go back to, which is a moms in prayer group. It started out as a Protestant group, and they decided, you know what, we can do our Catholic thing, but they still follow their basic form, which is reading scripture and relating it to our own personal, like we will just reflect and repeat the different words. And at first I thought, not my thing. I didn't feel like it was part of my tradition, and I didn't really want to do it, but I did find it stayed with me during the day. It caused me to go deeper in scripture, and it only just was a few minutes. And so we did that, and listening to what Father Philippe said about how important it is, it makes me realize I need to go deeper and do this on my own more often. Because I'm not always in a hurry, because I want to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I don't like to slow down. I don't know about you, Sherry.
Oh, I'm the same way.
You seem like a calm person.
Oh, yeah, I seem that way. I've got you fooled, but...
Okay.
But, you know, really,
well,
that's...
great job.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. And I have taught Lectio Divina to young people before. And, you know, they fidget in their chairs, and because it requires you to sit and to be peaceful and to really, you know, kind of stop and think. And that's very hard, not just for young people, but for any of us. And,
yes.
You know, it's such an opportunity for us to kind of, you know, like, all right, center ourselves and, okay, Lord, I'm here, I'm with you, and to be in his presence,
yes.
And to let him speak to us about what that scripture says. And, you know, Lectio Divina, I highly recommend it. Well, we've got to take a short break here, but let's talk when we come back, Patty, about some of the other ways to pray, because I know there are so many. And friends, you were probably thinking, okay, I was going to find out from Patty exactly what's the right way to pray. There is no one right way, okay? There are many ways to pray depending on who you are, your situation, your personality, and we're going to talk about some of those when we come back. Stay with us on Catholic Connection.
We all seem to know at least one young woman trying to discern what God wants for her life, but she isn't quite sure how to do that. A Vow is the answer. A Vow is a discernment group for women ages 16 to 40, which meets twice a month at the Divine Mercy Center, where the women of Jesus' merciful passion will journey with her. And for a more personal experience into their daily life, Zoom in for a virtual Come and See retreat on Saturday, February 6th. Learn more at WJMP.org. That's WJMP.org.
Pope Francis has declared July 25th Catholic Grandparents' Day, thanks to the determined efforts of two Catholic grandmothers. Hello, everyone. Peggy Stanton here. Join Marilyn Henry and Catherine Wiley to hear how papal persistence paid off. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on A Place of Peace on Ave Maria Radio.
Welcome to an Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Metti and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
Past the hour, Sherry Brownrigg in for Teresa Tomeo on Catholic Connection. Good morning to you. We're talking with Patty Armstrong, and I'm talking about prayer. She's written a great blog about the best way to pray, and she asked that question to Father Jacques Philippe and found out, of course, there is no one right way. And Patty, you know, we were talking during the break, though, that that prayer starts with one fundamental thing. What is that?
It starts with a relationship with Jesus, with God, but in reality it starts with desiring a relationship, because without prayer you can't have a relationship with God. If you don't talk to him, if you don't, reading scripture is listening to him, and if you don't spend time with him, you don't have a relationship. And in our time-pressed society, we do have to make that time. And I said during the first segment, I'm always in a hurry. I always want to get stuff done. I like what I'm doing. I don't see it as something I need to fix for the most part, but I need to take a look at how I'm spending my time with God and make that time so I'm just doing that. I'm not making a list. I'm not trying to hurry up. And that is difficult. And we talked about, Lectio Divina, where we're spending time with scripture. And seriously, this could be 5 minutes. It could be 2 minutes. 2 minutes can seem like a long time. And I think going to adoration just at least once a week, having that time before the Blessed Sacrament. And I use this, prayer book where I'm trying to think of the name of it, but every 5 minutes is dedicated to some kind of prayer, surrender, repentance, intercessory prayer, praise. You know, praising God is a form of prayer, and we're commanded to do it, you know?
Yeah.
In scripture, we need to spend a little time praising God. We need to spend a little time thanking him. And, you know, in my book, Holy Hacks, I talk about so many different things we can do throughout our day, so we're actually expanding our capacity for a deeper relationship. And that's what I'm getting at right now. We don't have to say, okay, what? It sounds like I need to put an hour set aside in the morning. No, that's 2 or 3 minutes aside. But your whole entire day can become a prayer if you're having this ongoing conversation with God, and make that appointment during the week to spend time before the Blessed Sacrament. If you think Lectio Divina and just having a couple minutes is a challenge, well, try just spending 5 minutes with your brain empty in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Like, Sherry, is that hard for you or easy?
You know, I actually love to go to adoration. So I journal a lot in adoration. That's kind of my practice. But you know what? I think you're really... I love the Holy Hacks, by the way. I love that because, you know, for people like you and me and so many of our listeners, we do. We kind of run around and, you know, there's all these things that need to be done. And yes, that's true. And finding ways to work that prayer in is really essential. I live on a trail, and I have a dog that needs frequent walking. She's a golden retriever, and she is, you know, about a year and a half. And so one of the things that I do a lot is when I walk her is I pray the rosary. And it's wonderful, meditative, you know, that I can really kind of get deep in. And I invite Mary in to help me, to look at it through her eyes. And I always find some insights in there. And it's really just a wonderful thing. And the same with the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, you know, the opportunity to do that. And I often will say the rosary and the chaplet for priests. Doing that sometimes for individual priests and for priests, you know, as a whole. And then just, you know, whenever I start on a project, I open myself up to the Holy Spirit. There's that opportunity just to pause for a moment and say, you know, Lord, send your Holy Spirit to show me what you want me to do here, to help me find the words to, you know, help me to do this project. And those few minutes in the morning before I get out of bed, I praise God. I just lay there and praise God. And that alone is, you'll never get up on the wrong side of bed.
No. And then it becomes a thread throughout your day. Like one of my suggestions is, I stumbled upon this idea. I just kind of am a holy hack kind of person where I'm always coming up with ideas. But there's a plant that somebody gave me once for my birthday. About 5 years ago, this plant, this geranium, just keeps living on. And every time I water it, I say a prayer for the person that gave it to me. And I thought, hey, I could do that with every gift I use. If you use a gift, if somebody gave you a sweater, say a prayer for that person every time you put it on. But I also
what a great idea.
Talk about with prayer, things like contemplative prayer. Now, there's a challenge because it really does. I'm really working on that because I don't feel I'm there. But a priest, and I mentioned his book in the article, Father Wayne Statler has a book on, I'm going to go look at the title so I get it right, and you will find rest, what God does in prayer. What fascinates me and attracts me to the idea of contemplative prayer is it isn't what we're doing, but it's what God is doing, and he takes over. And the only way he can take over is if we can empty our mind, and this is the hard part for me. Going to adoration, I love it. Blanking my mind up for a little bit, a bit of a challenge. but I think about it, and I just think, I'm in the presence of God. And I try to just experience that and then not think of anything. And I'm not saying magical things happen during that 5 minutes, but I know that God, I'm opening myself just to be in his presence and to fill me. And so when I leave, that goes with me. I'm filling myself up with God in a way that it's not like step one, step two, step three, and God's going to do this. It's just being there.
But I
don't know. Contemplative prayer, I've been told, and some of the saints said, you know, it really is the highest form of prayer, but we can't do it all the time. But it's something to strive for.
Yeah, it sure is. And Patty, we'll have to leave it there, but I want to thank you so much for being here. You can read Patty Armstrong's, her blogs at National Catholic Register often, and you can also read all of them at PattyMaguireArmstrong.com. And talking about that prayer, yes, just ask God, find those little times in your day and you can pray. Hey, stay with us. We've got another hour of Catholic Connection, and it's going to be great.